Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole.
Dead air moments. And I feel
paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's fat!
I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
You ever go to Lashitz Inn on April 20th? We were in there one night, and we were completely unaware of it.
One of you is a very lucky girl. There is an opening for a job. Which of you has domestic experience? Yeah, on second thought, I don't really want someone else's maid. All those annoying habits I have to undo.
I'm not cutting it anymore. I'm old news, and my new show sucks. Hi, I'm Chris Block. Nice to meet you.
He's got sponsors, man. Ain't that some shit? He's got a pizza place and a massage parlor. Either that or he's in the mafia, and the mafia is all about pizzerias and massage parlors. We'll see if his next sponsor is a waste management company.
I'm at the United Center 42 times this year. My picture's it's on the website. It's in the Committed Indian. You could go. I'll make you my Facebook friend. Come find me, pal.
This is the type of show you get when, you know, the Blackhawks aren't doing anything stupid in the off season.
Let me hear you say absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, don't, okay.
Jeez, I'm an idiot.
Bunch of fucks.
That's awesome.
All right, I don't know what all that was about. Superstar, are you there?
I am here.
I can never promise good radio, but I can promise radio.
Yeah, definitely not good, but we're here.
Hello there again, everybody. It is Chris Block, editor, writer, and keeper of thethirdmanin.com, sometimes anyway. And alongside Superstar, it is the Third Man in Radio here on this Monday night, February 22nd, 2010. It is 8:03 here in Chicago. And Superstar, how you doing?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. A little under the weather. But we got a lot to talk about here this evening. A couple of things, I guess, are going on. You know, I don't know. There were some events over the weekend that maybe, you know, maybe you and I should talk about. But I do have, before we get into anything, what did you give up for Lent, Superstar?
I am an awful Catholic. I still have not figured out what I'm giving up for Lent, and it's almost a weekend now.
I think at this point, I think you just, you know, it's okay. You just work on it for next year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah, just get a head start and start work on it for next year. By, you know, what do you got now? You got, 359 days?
Yeah, something like that. You know, I got plenty of time to come up with a firm answer when you ask me this time next year.
Now, on the other hand, I did figure out what I was going to give up.
Instead of loneliness?
Yeah. I'm giving up popcorn.
popcorn.
Yeah. It's a bad habit
for you.
Yeah, if there's popcorn around the house and I'm not doing anything, I make popcorn. So I've given up popcorn. And I know that's like real weak, but I mean, I can't be trusted to give up anything else.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a big step, man. You are a popcorn eating machine when chilling at the house. So, that's a big step. Although it's a preventable step. Just don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, there is that too. But, you know, sometimes I get a little wacky at the grocery store and I just start buying stuff. It's like a thing with me. Like, no matter when I go or what I go to the grocery store for, I always end up going through the line spending $180. It never fails.
Yeah, that's not good.
I could go to the grocery store for, a case of beer and nachos, and I'll spend $180 somehow. Because I go, you know what I do? I go and I get the big cart, and I don't just like immediately go to what I need. I'll peruse through everything, and I'm like, oh well, that looks good, that looks good. And then I start to think, you're like, because I really don't like being around people.
No, you don't.
No. So like when I'm in a place like like the Jewel, like, I start to realize that I don't want to come back here anytime soon. So I start planning ahead. Like, how many things could I buy, so I don't have to come back here for, like, a couple of weeks. So
that's not a bad plan.
No, it's not. It's actually a really good plan. And I do all my shopping very late at night.
Well, yeah, it limits the foot traffic. You get in and out unless you go up and down every aisle buying shit like you do.
I really miss, back in the day, when I lived in the suburbs, I missed the 24-hour, super Kmart. Like, I don't have a super Kmart around me. There's a Kmart not that far from me, but, I mean, I haven't shopped at Kmart in years and years and years, but, like, the Super K, that was, like, the first, like, I mean, I'm an older guy, so, but not that old, but, like, the Super K was, like, the first, like, combined, department store, grocery store. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, you get everything done.
Yeah, and then on Meacham there, and I don't know, they wouldn't really Schaumburg. I guess it would have been what?
Meacham.
I mean, it was somewhere.
Yeah, it was over there.
Yeah, in there, and that was like, I mean, that was heaven for me. Because I go in there at 2 in the morning, I get all my shopping done, there'd be nobody there. Those are good.
Yeah, those places are, were invented for people like you. I don't want to be around people, and I don't want to come back here for a month.
Yeah. It was absolutely necessary. I do want to point out, and I did mention this at the end of the show last week, I did, and you referenced, and it's not necessarily that I'm lonely. I'm not lonely at all. I'm making out pretty good. I'm hanging on by a thread, but I'm making out pretty good. But I noticed that my cats, and I want to tell you a story, Superstar. This thing dawned on me. I was watching, The King of Queens. You know that show?
I do know that.
Yeah.
Kevin James and that, New Jersey chick.
Leah Remini or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about what's going on in the background in a minute, I guess. But I was watching this, and now I'm plus 30. I think I'm 31 now. What am I?
Dude, you're 32.
All right, I'm 32. Okay, I'm 32. But that's right, because you're older than me.
I am.
Okay, so I was watching The King of Queens one night, and it was an episode where who's the big black guy in there?
I don't know. Can we just go with he's the big black guy in there?
Well, Kevin James, like, partner, his best friend, not partner, but his best friend on the show, they drive for the pseudo UPS company. And, like, there's I forget the exact sequence in it, but I remember when I was sitting there watching this, and, excuse me, I'm watching it, and basically the gist of it was, like, they were talking about this big black guy who's Kevin James' best friend. And the gist of it is he's a single guy. He lives alone in an apartment. He's over 30 and he has two cats. And the insinuation there was that if all those things, all those circumstances are, you know, the case, then he must be gay, right?
I can see that, though.
Okay, well.
And it's Deacon Palmer who's the character that you're referencing.
Thank you, Deacon. Okay, so then I sat there and I go, wait a second. I go, I'm plus 30. I live alone. I live in an apartment. And I got two cats. I mean, what is that? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I mean, I wouldn't be confused for that any. So then, you know, so I started to think like maybe I need to get a dog. So finally, finally an opportunity presented itself for me to get a dog this past week. So I jumped at the opportunity, but what I ended up with was a 11-week-old puppy.
Yeah, good luck with that, pal.
I was told when I picked it up on Saturday night, I was told that it was very calm. It didn't bark, didn't make any kind of noise, did all its business on the puppy pad, except for, you know, occasionally did number two elsewhere. I was told all these things, and it sounded great, it sounded perfect. I'm like, all right, this is going to work out just fine. I brought the thing home. The thing wouldn't stop running around or moving for about 3.5 hours. It shits everywhere. Sometimes it will pee on the puppy pad, but not all the time. And the thing is moaning and barking and crying all the time. But he's cute as hell. And And he's rambunctious. And he's agitating the cats. The cats aren't necessarily afraid of him. They're watching him like a hawk. But like he attacks them, and he thinks their tails are toys, so he'll try to bite their tail and like drag it with him. And they're not having any of that. But he's like an agitator. He's like a little ball of hate, really. I mean, he doesn't mean anything by it. So go ahead. So basically, I determined that this. I mean, it came with the name Carson, so I'll honor the name Carson. But it's his new name is Carson Rutu, after ex-Black Hawk Tuma Rutu.
I like it. Carson Rutu.
Carson Rutu.
And Block, on the subject of Lent and giving things up, I just got an email from a listener who says, tell Block he should have given up trying to cook eggs.
You know what? In the $180 that I spent at the Jewel the other night, I did not buy eggs.
That's good. You know, speaking of eggs, you know, we've had many late-night, drunken, burning things. And I was going to ask you when you were talking about your grocery bill, how many pizzas, frozen pizzas, do you buy, and how many actually get cooked that's edible?
Well, I haven't had an accident with a pizza in a long time. I mean, it's been probably about a year since I had an accident with a pizza.
Oh, so you're coming along a little bit.
Yeah, eggs I have figured out, but no, the frozen, the microwave. Although I almost burned one last night watching the hockey game because I totally forgot it was in there. But I'm getting a lot better at that. The problem is like when you come home at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and you know, I mean, think about like the state of mind you are when you come home at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and then you decide that, you know, cooking a frozen pizza is like the thing to do.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
yeah.
And percentages there aren't very good.
No, which is why you got to start resorting to my fact. And instead of going home and cooking, you stop at the Taco Burrito King.
I mean, depending on where you are in the city, the Taco Burrito King may not be an option, Superstar.
Well, that's true. There's got to be.
Where you are, within walking distance.
I am.
Yeah.
And I take as much advantage of it as I can.
All right. if we have an electrical emergency in the house anytime soon, it's because there's cat and dog Olympics going on, I guess. I don't know what the hell is going on. It's all going on behind me. Maybe occasionally you'll hear something. All right, well, let's, you know, one thing I did want to touch on, because it's topical, because it's in the news. It was a pretty big story over the weekend, actually happened on Friday. The Tiger Woods press conference, Tiger Woods coming out of hiding. And, I mean, I think this is news. Do you think this is news?
It's so much news that I tried to stay as far away from it as possible. So,
well, I mean, wait a minute, though. I mean, let's maybe we need to consult the Sarah Spain newsometer. Maybe Sarah Spain doesn't think it's news. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about it because it does involve infidelity. So maybe it's not news. I don't know. But I think it's news. And did you see the press conference?
No, I did not.
Okay, I did see the press conference. Did you read anything about it?
Yeah, I mean, I read a lot of stuff on it and a lot more reaction to what people were saying. And, you know, I heard a lot of stuff that people were really upset over the timing of the news conference. I don't know if you caught
it. Oh, with the golf tournament that was going on over the weekend?
Yeah.
Sponsor? Because it was Accenture, and that was the first sponsor to drop him and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Actually, during his speech, you know, his prepared speech, I mean, most of the negativity that I heard about it was people that were mad that he stood up there for, I mean, he was up there talking for 15, 20 minutes, and people were mad that he read from a prepared statement for 15 or 20 minutes. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't from the heart because he read it. It was on a piece of paper. Now, anybody could have written that for him, sure, but it was very carefully written so that if he didn't write it, whoever did write it for him, if that's the case, when he was reading it, I believed that they were his words. And I mean, I do believe it because he said, like, when he, over the course of the thing, I mean, he's definitely been paying attention, or someone's been paying attention to the media in the last week leading up to that speech, because that point about people being mad about the timing of it, he addressed that. You know, he said, you know, I forget what he said, but he said it was no disrespect meant to the golfers or the tournament or the company or anything. It was the right time for him because, like, I guess on Saturday he was going back to the – he never mentioned what he was going, you know, back into rehabilitation for, but it's sex therapy or over-sex therapy. But he was going back to that, like, on Saturday or Sunday. So, like, he defended the timing of it. So he addressed that. But, yeah, there were many things that he touched on. I think the one thing, though, that he was defiant at times, like being mad that people suggested that it was, his wife was, you know, attacking him the day of the accident out in front of their home. And then he was really, I think, well, the part that he was out of line and he sort of misstepped was when he basically, you know, he demanded that the media leave his family alone and stop following, you know, his kids to school and following his wife and his mother-in-law around and all that kind of stuff. It's like, you can't control the media, you know. And the more if you attack them, and the more you ask them not to do something, the more likely they are now to do it, you know. So I think he erred there, and to me, that was probably something that he definitely wanted to say. So it came across as real to me. I thought he came across real well, with the exception of that part. Like, he struck me as a guy that he got caught, and now he's sorry that he got caught. But isn't that the way it happens all the time, though? You know,
right.
I mean, how many people, you know, they're doing something wrong, and then it's like, you know what, God damn it, I'm doing something wrong. You know, I mean, no, you get caught, and then you know, either you realize it or, you know, something like what's happened to Tiger Woods makes you realize that what you were doing is wrong and all that kind of crap. You know, but,
yeah.
You know, he came across, I thought, as genuine. And, you know, he says he may or may not be back at golf this year, and he'll be back whenever he's ready to be back. And I don't know. I thought he came across real well. But what are people saying? I didn't see any reaction to it.
You know, it was more, you know, like I said, the more of the things that I saw were a lot of people upset. A lot of people, you know, thought that he wasn't being genuine. And that could have come off depending on, you know, if he had a speechwriter or he, you know, those weren't his words. You know, but I think people do need to, like you mentioned, respect his. It's hard because he's such a celebrity, he's such a big name. But respect, you know, the family's privacy and, you know, everything that goes in with that. But he does have to realize, hey, you, by being you, put your family in this situation. You know, by being the best golfer in the world, by being Tiger Woods, and being Tiger Woods doing, you know, things with people you shouldn't be doing them with, you know, you put yourself in this situation.
Well, and also, he didn't marry a school teacher from, Manhattan, you know, Florida or Melbourne. I mean, he married a Swedish supermodel.
Right.
You know, I mean, so it's like, I mean, she's a celebrity too. It's not like she can just, you know, denounce her celebrity and, you know, and she's nobody anymore. I mean, she's a beautiful woman who was a model and somewhat of a celebrity, and she married the most celebrated athlete of our generation, you know, outside of Michael Jordan. So, I mean, what do you expect?
Exactly.
But, I mean, I do expect him to be upset about it. But I think sort of like he didn't attack the media, but he kind of demanded that they leave his family alone. And I think that he could have come across better in that. I think that if he did have speechwriters, that they were bad speechwriters when it came to, you know, writing that part of the speech. That's why it didn't come across to me as it was written for him. It came across like he probably had someone helping him. But it really did to me. I mean, I don't follow golf, and I don't know everything about Tiger Woods. But just as a, you know, a casual observer coming across it, it really seemed to me like it was coming from him. And whether he was reading from a piece of paper or not, I mean, it was coming from him. But all right, let's move on then. That's enough of that. We're probably sensationalizing stuff for hits or something.
Speaking of that, did you see that Mike Comrie and Hillary Duff getting married?
Oh, yeah. I also want to say this, another thing that has nothing to do with hockey or the Blackhawks or anything. If last night in St. Louis, and for some people that maybe follow the show, they know a little bit of my history and my background in professional wrestling. Go to sportsillustrated.com or SI, whatever the website is, Sports Illustrated Online. Go there today. I think it's CNNSI.com. And in the, I don't know what it's called, the extra mustard or something. In today's thing, and it is headlined by Comrie and Hillary Duff, but at the very bottom, last night the WWE put on a pay-per-view called the Elimination Chamber in St. Louis at the Scott Trade Center. In the last match, the main event, one of the most, you know, famous wrestlers of, you know, the past 2.5 decades, The Undertaker, comes out, and his ring entrance is, you know, it's ominous. The lights are down, and they shoot fire up from the ramps. Well, the idiot in the back doing the pyro mistimed, you know, because he's just, pushing buttons. And you know, when he pushes the button, the fire comes out of those canisters. Well, The Undertaker, you know, is walking out, and there's just fireballs shooting up, one after another, one after another. And then he's supposed to come out and stand there, you know, build up the drama. He stands there with that, you know, the dead man look, and he looks around, and then he starts walking again. Well, he walks, and he stops, like, right where he's supposed to, like he's done thousands of times. And the pyro guy, as he stops, hits the fire button that the Undertaker, Mark Calloway, is standing on. And he gets engulfed in, you know, this huge fireball. And, I mean, a la, like, for heavy metal rock, you know, rock fans like James Hetfield back in Montreal in 1993, you know, on the Guns N' Roses Metallica tour. Same thing. Gets engulfed in this fireball. Luckily, he's got the big leather trench coat on. Well, the leather trench coat, the arms of it melt, and his big top hat melt, but he gets first and second degree burns on his neck, his chest, and his back. And I don't know about his arms. But, like, as he's engulfed in flames, he sort of runs forward, he takes off the jacket, and he slams it down, the hat and everything, and then he just gets in the ring, because he's got to walk into the cage. He just gets into the ring, and he stands there, and he looks at, you know, this is a motherfucking badass motherfucker. Excuse my language. Go to, they have the video because somebody put it up on YouTube, a fan that was, you know, was taping the show. It's amazing. He, not only did he just go right into the ring and just do the match and then go to the hospital after the match, or, you know, I mean, he was attended by, I mean, the WWE has, like, first-class medical staff on hand at all of their major shows anyway. But, like, he wrestled for 30 minutes and went ahead with the planned finish at the end, which was an angle with Shawn Michaels that's leading into WrestleMania. But it's just amazing. Even if you don't, you know, I mean, it's the clip's like a minute long. You'll see, if you load it up, you'll see, like, I mean, there's a bunch of fireballs, and you really don't know what you're looking at. But then towards the end, you'll see him coming out, and then he just gets engulfed in flames. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, go check that out. All right. But the other big thing that happened last night, I don't know if, I mean, I assume everybody saw it, Canada and the United States of America, final game, at least for those two teams in the preliminary round, United States with a 5-3 victory, holding on to beat the Canadians, and I mean, obviously a fantastic hockey game. But what were your thoughts there, Superstar?
I thought, you know what, and I said this right before we went on, I thought it was the most entertaining hockey game I've seen in probably 10 years. Obviously, you know, yeah, a lot of the overtime game sevens and all that. I thought this was great. The skill level was unbelievable. To me, it was the best all-star game with defense and hitting and unbelievable goaltending that I've seen in 10 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous hockey game. You can't say anything bad about the hockey game whatsoever because it was just great. But I mean, my thing with what happened yesterday and the game itself was great, awesome game. People are going to remember that game for a long time. And like I've said before, these Olympics started, and I've angered people, and you know, that saying that the NHL is stupid for sending their players to the Olympics. I could defend it all day long. But I will say this about, and I've defended NBC as well for their limited, I mean, the one great thing that you get, and people are overlooking it, is that at least NBC is showing every single game. Like, it could have, I wouldn't expect them to show Norway versus Switzerland. Like, if NBC didn't show me that game, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, but they did. I mean, every single game they've shown you. Yeah, some got clipped in the beginning because there's overlapping or whatever between the women and the men. But at least you're getting every single game. My first and my only issue with NBC's coverage came up yesterday. Because they show the game in the afternoon. Now, the NBC can't control anything as far as when the Olympic, you know, the Olympic organization, you know, when they schedule things. That's NBC has nothing to do with that, really. But they show the Czechs and the Russians in the afternoon. And then immediately following that game, they do this amazing job of hyping up, you know, the U.S.-Canada game. And their focus is to you know, and it's been done 100 times, to go back and rehash, you know, and you know, the 1980 Olympic team. And but they did a great job of doing that and romanticizing it and bringing it back into current day, and then sort of like trying to make you believe that the U.S. is in a similar situation yesterday against the Canadians, which is not true at all. It's NHL players against NHL players. It's, you know, the U.S. has the best, I mean, you can't relate anything to it as far as U.S., Russia in 1980, because in 1980, the Russians had the best goaltender in the world, most would say, in Vladislav Tretiak. Yesterday, it was the United States who a lot of people would say have the best goaltender in the world right now, Ryan Miller. So, I mean, it wasn't the same at all, but NBC, I mean, they did a great job of selling it that way. They made you believe that this was, and it's not even to make you believe, they told you it was the most anticipated event of the week. And it was, you know, they're like, Sunday is all about hockey here. It's all about Canada, U.S., and you can watch it later on MSNBC. I mean, if you're going to hype it up that way, at least show it on the USA Network or show it on your high-definition station, you know. I mean, I know why it's not on NBC, and you have to understand why that, a game like that's not on NBC. It's like, if for those of you, and I'm sure everybody that watched that game yesterday, how many commercials did you see during those periods?
I didn't see any.
Okay. How much money does NBC spend on the Olympics?
A lot.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Okay? They've got to recoup that somehow. You know, during a hockey game, a commercial during the period is worth more than a commercial during the intermission. And, you know, I mean, not to mention that, nobody's going to like to hear this, but, and I obviously hockey's my favorite sport to watch. I'll defend it all day long. But guess what? I mean, the NHL is on television 8.5 months a year. You know, I mean, there's hockey on all the time. If you want to watch hockey during the winter, you can find it. If you want to go to a hockey game, you can find it. I mean, it's there for you. Once every 4 years, to the casual observer, to the casual fan, is there time to watch snowboarding, you know, and whatever skiing or, you know, I mean, ice dancing is on periodically. But on this stage, I mean, face the facts that and I did watch a little bit of the Olympics, just sort of get the feel of it and you know, kind of see if, you know, just gauge it. But it's just better television than hockey. It just is. You know, the fact that, okay, here comes, you know, they're gonna do the whirly bird, and they're gonna go up a hill and down a hill, and then they're gonna come down, and they're gonna stand in the pit, and then they're gonna get scored right there. You see the event, you know, you see the run. It's over, you get finality. You get their score, and then you start stacking it up against everybody. It's just better television than hockey. It just is. Hockey's a great game. It's exciting. It can captivate you. You know, it can captivate you. That game yesterday could have been an awful game, and it wouldn't have captivated anybody. But, you know, you get lucky. But I think, you know, in general, you know, NBC can count on all these other events being better television than hockey. Not to mention they can run commercials pretty much whenever they want. You know, and tape delay stuff where you can't do that with hockey. But I think it was inexcusable for that game not to be on CNBC where they could have had it in high definition. That I didn't get that at all. You know, but I mean today the NBC did announce that, you know, because of that big win and now that there's more mainstream attention going towards the U.S., you know, and the U.S. is again scheduled to play at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, they're going to show the U.S.'s next game on NBC on Wednesday. everybody will be at work. Nobody will be able to see it, but it'll be on NBC.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I read as far as the coverage went was the lack of HD. You know, here you have this game that you've hyped up for a whole week, and you don't even put it on a network that 95% of the population has HD. They love watching sports in HD. It's probably 90% of the reason why they got HD is to watch sports. You build this as the biggest game, and you're not going to give it to me in HD.
Well, I mean, it's not 95%. You know, I don't know that the number. I think it's closer to like 35-40% of the people have HD. But, you know, still, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, your high-end viewers, like we talked about last week, whenever we talked about on the show, you know, about Blackhawks fans, and really hockey fans in general, are of a higher earnings demographic and education demo or bracket. So, I mean, those people are more than likely going to have these items of luxury, like high-definition televisions. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't have the money for it or just don't even bother. I mean, some people have high-definition televisions but don't pay for the high-definition package. You know, it is a big deal, I think, in hockey circles because for people that do know the game, they know how much easier it is to watch in high-definition, you know, and how much better the game is to see. And you can, you know, for people that find it hard to follow the puck, high definition, it's a breeze, you know.
Yeah, and ironically, Block, I'm one of the other ones that pay for the HD service, and I don't have an HD TV.
See, there you go. But, that was like the only thing that I've been critical of NBC so far in their coverage. I mean, other than not dumping out of a blowout women's game earlier in the week to get into I forget what the game was, but I don't know if it was.
That was the Russian Russia somebody else. It was Russia's first game. I know the game you're talking.
Yeah, I mean, aside from that game, you know, I mean, those are the only two things. Yesterday, not being in high definition, I know why it wasn't on NBC. You know, but on our rematch between Canada and the U.S., obviously, is anything U.S. in a, you know, U.S. has three games left, potentially. They've got Wednesday afternoon, at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, 2 Chicago time. And then they'll either be in the bronze medal game or they'll be in the gold medal. Well, they got semis, then the bronze or the gold. You know, I'm going to ask you this, though, Superstar. For everything that was said about yesterday's game and all the hype coming now in the U.S., I don't think the U.S. is playing particularly well at all.
I don't either.
they were
dominated.
They were – it wasn't even – I mean, the third period wasn't even close. I mean, it was Ryan Miller and Luck. That got them through that game. You know, I mean, the Canadians outshot the U.S. 14-4, and I'd say that they had flat out 14 scoring chances, not even shots. I mean, times where they missed the net, shots didn't get through. I mean, you know, I mean, and to think about that shift at the end of the game, I remember when Eddie Olczyk talked about how. You know, when Chris Drury came out with Ryan Callahan, it was about 2 minutes left in the game, two, 3 minutes left in the game. Ryan Callahan and Chris Drury come out, you know, and U.S. is their line with somebody else. Maybe it was Backes. But the U.S. spent a minute and a half running around their zone, not being able to get the puck out of the zone. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Ron Wilson better never trust those guys ever again in that situation. Like, Chris Drury had a good game yesterday. That was not a good Chris Drury shift. Ryan Callahan shouldn't even be on the team. You know, I always understood why Chris Drury was there. I don't understand why Ryan Callahan's on the team. But, you know, and then Patrick Kane got off to a slow start yesterday. He was sort of missing in the first period as the game went along. He got a little bit more comfortable. He got confidence. He was skating with the puck, going into traffic and everything. He started to get that. Zach Parise. I mean, when is Zach Parise going to show up in this tournament?
Hopefully sooner than later, because yeah, he's definitely MIA.
I don't think it's a slam dunk that the U.S. is even going to medal at this point. I mean, the best thing that happened to them is that Sweden couldn't score in the first two games of the preliminary round. So they ended up with U.S. ends up with a better goal differential. So they end up with the first seed, and Russia and Canada are on a collision course for the semifinal.
Yeah, that's key because those teams you got to worry about.
Think about that. The two teams. I mean, and I had Canada. And we can talk about that in a second. Another one of my predictions going awry. I had Canada getting the gold above Russia. Well, one of those two teams isn't going to medal. They're not even going to get to the medal round. Russia or Canada.
And if it's not Canada, you're putting an entire nation on a suicide watch.
Well, you know what? Either that, or they're gonna take action against Big Daddy Joe Thornton. Again,
yeah.
Now I talk about this before, and that for a few years now in a row, I've been high on the San Jose Sharks. One, because I watch a lot of San Jose like I do everybody else, but San Jose's so impressive all year long. They seem to have every one of the tools they need. And you want to believe that Joe Thornton will eventually snap out of whatever it is that Joe Thornton, whatever spell that Joe Thornton is under. That he just can't be assertive and take a game over. Like, you know he can. Joe Thornton, I didn't see him yesterday. If he was on the ice, I didn't see him.
I do remember he had a pretty solid shift halfway through the second period where he, of course, managed the puck off the corner and ended up in his very familiar place behind the net. And other than that, yeah, I don't remember seeing him much either.
I think he had a shot go wide in the third period, but he had Heatley taken off his line for a bit. Marlowe was skating with other guys. I said this last week when I talked about how I changed my mind and Canada was going to win in spite of Joe Thornton. Obviously not. I was wrong. I went against my cardinal rule that no team with Joe Thornton will ever win anything. And I went against it again, and I got, you know, could they win four in a row? Maybe. I don't know. Germany might frustrate them tomorrow. I mean, it's quite possible that Germany will frustrate them for two periods. Because Germany plays a boring, boring game. Germany won't score at all, but I mean they could cause some problems for Canada. Canada's going to win that game, and then they're going to play Russia. You know, I don't know. I mean, if they can somehow get through Russia, like how much more is that Canadian team going to have left? I mean, not a lot. That's a big thing. And there's so many teams that are playing so well right now. I mean, the Czechs are playing. I really like the way the Czechs are playing. I know they lost to Russia yesterday, but I still like them.
Even Slovakia is playing well.
That's the other thing. Like, can you imagine, like, if things wouldn't have gone all batty and they start to think that communism was a bad thing in the 80s there in Czechoslovakia, and they would have, like, split nations there in 1992. Can you imagine that the Czechs would rule hockey? Can you imagine if that was one team?
No.
They would absolutely be – I mean, they already give them the gold medal. Let's just go back to playing NHL hockey. Like,
yeah.
It should be anyway. I mean, it was sickening to think of, like, how good the Czechs would be if they just went back to being the Czechs instead of whatever it is that they are now, divided, and the poor kids in Slovakia and the well-off, you know, on the other side. Like, just go back to being what you were before. Celebrate communism.
Celebrate communism, win a gold medal.
Exactly.
Seems like a trade.
Worked for the Soviets for how many years?
Yeah.
And then in 15 years or 16 years or whatever, the U.S. will knock the you know, the communist Czechoslovakia off, and it'll be the miracle once again. That's what I think. I think it would be so much better if the Olympics would allow the Czechs to go back to being Czechoslovakia.
Sure.
Rolling doobies!
You know, we haven't mentioned Dion Phaneuf's name in a couple of weeks.
Sloppy seconds!
See, that's why we need the NHL to come back, so we could watch the Toronto Maple Leafs again, so we could have more Dion Phaneuf mentions.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think I was going to miss the Blackhawks as much, or even talking Blackhawks as much, but and as exciting as that game was last night, I'm right there. This thing needs to wrap up. I need to get back to, you know, God forbid, even bad, you know, Edmonton Oil or hockey.
Yeah, I don't know what I want to talk about, how much I want to talk about this, but yeah, people are sort of, and it's not just with me, like listeners of this show, and I don't want to pick fights with listeners.
Yeah, bullshit.
But, no, because I appreciate, I mean, the people that do listen to the show, you know, and I appreciate, you know, each and every one of you. I mean, I'll pick a fight with you every once in a while, but I do appreciate you listening. And we'll do something about Superstar eventually. I'm just kidding. yeah, people are like, upset, like, the idea that, I mean, like, how could you watch a game like the Canada and the U.S. yesterday and suggest that the NHL shouldn't be in the Olympics? It's like, well, I'm not saying that yesterday was a bad game or anything, you know, or it wasn't, you know, exciting game or, you know, but, you know, I look at it from a business standpoint. I look at it from the NHL standpoint, and they're promoting their league. The Olympics don't do anything. If history has taught us anything, the Olympics haven't done anything for the NHL. Globally, you know, in Europe, yeah, it's terrific that people over in Europe, in Sweden and Finland and Russia, they get to watch all their homegrown talent on this kind of stage. It's great for them. Doesn't do jack shit for the NHL. Someone's on the line. I think it's. I think I know who this is. Let's punch this person up. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, how about that?
How you doing, Watt?
I'm real good. How you guys doing?
Watt, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I got some possessions of yours, buddy. I gotta get to you.
Yes, you do.
Speaking of Canada, USA.
So what's on your mind right now?
I'm just calling in to say hi, that's all.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the game yesterday?
I think Wad gave up loneliness for Len, too.
Oh, no, I think if anything, I've adopted it. I thought the game was outstanding. From what I did get to see, If the whole game would have been like it was the last 5 minutes of the third period, it would have been a phenomenal game. And I think we would have had a different outcome. But
yeah, the whole game would have been like the last 5 minutes. It would have been like 10-0 Canada.
Yeah, and Joe Thornton may have actually made an appearance.
Yeah, Joe Thornton might have an assist on something. It was funny because I was talking to our men's league game that you bolted right afterwards the other night. We're sitting around, we're talking about, like, because I always, you know, I always criticize Joe Thornton, when in reality, like, I'm, like, the Joe Thornton of our men's league.
That is an excellent comparison.
Because, like, I don't know, I don't know what it is, because I don't know what the stats are, but I must have the best shooting percentage in our league. Because I think I've what I think I've shot the puck like, I don't know, maybe 8 times all season, and I have like 5 goals.
Yeah, if that much. Well, when you play on a line with me, you're just not going to be able to shoot the puck.
No, because you refuse to pass to me.
Well, I pass to you, but then you fuck it all up.
Well, somebody passed to me on Thursday night, and I scored.
Well, that's because I let it go through my legs.
You allowed it to go through, yeah.
Yes. No, you have an outstanding shooting percentage, and you don't do anything fancy. You just bury a 5-hole along the floor every time. I don't think you have any lift to your shot at all.
I do, too.
Maybe
I mean,
a warm-up.
What am I supposed to do? I mean, if the guy's standing up and he's showing me 5-hole, and I know I can beat him 5-hole, I'm just going to beat him 5-hole. Why do I got to make things hard for myself?
We all know how much you like to go 5-hole.
And when I go high, it's usually all the time on a slap shot.
Yeah, I would have to pay more attention to your game.
You play on a line with me.
I will have to pay more attention to your game, Mr. Jumbo Joe Thornton, sir.
All right, you can work on that.
All right. Well, that's why I call and say hi. Superstar, how you doing?
I'm well.
That's good. That's all. I ain't got nothing else to say.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. We'll see you on Thursday night for playoffs.
Thursday night playoffs. I'm there with new equipment.
We're the only team, Superstar. We're the only team, like, we play, like, really well. I mean, we scored 98 goals in 11 games. And for playoffs, we're going to show up with 5 guys.
Outstanding. And you're going to score 1.
Yeah, we're going to score 1. Like just like last season, like the worst seed in the whole playoffs is going to end up winning the whole thing because we totally disrespect the playoffs.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, we got guys, you know, making trips and playing cops and robbers and just don't feel that our playoff games are important enough.
I don't really think we should really mention anything that anybody on our team is doing. It's not going to do any of us any good.
No. Yeah. If anything, it's just going to cause more fights.
Yeah. All right, man. I will see you on Thursday night at the rink.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous thing ever.
So, Block, does that make you a hybrid Joe Thornton, Brent Sobel?
Yeah, I'm all awkward looking like Brent Sopel. And, I will pass the puck 9 times out of 10, and on the tenth opportunity, if it makes any sense whatsoever. I will only shoot if I'm point blank. Because I don't know what it is. I just don't care to score. But when I do shoot, I score. So, yeah, I am beer league Joe Thornton.
That never wins anything.
No, because we show up in the playoffs with the 5 fattest guys on our team and expect to skate. You know, because you got to play. You got to play the first game, and then if we win the first game, we got to play the championship game later. Like, and you know, and there's a break and there's a bar in the rink. You know, and some of us.
I think that's why. I mean, I think you just sandbag. Like, screw this.
Yeah, some of us take beer league a little too literally. But,
I just think that's an issue.
Not an issue for me. I don't care. By the time Thursday rolls around, I'm ready to rock, man. I don't drink during the week at all unless it's at Hawks games. So, being that there's no Hawks games this week, I don't care if we lose that first game or not. I'm going right to the bar.
As you should.
Yeah. a little bit more on the game. Like, right after that game on NBC, I don't know if you stayed with any of the post-game coverage, but right after the game, the news anchor on MSNBC, he called. Well, this is what he said. I wrote it down because I thought it was so absurd. The MSNBC anchor, post-game, after U.S. hangs on to win 5-3, this is his quote. He says, "They're calling it the biggest upset since the Miracle on Ice," which is just stupid. I mean, he's got to say it, but whatever. That's stupid. But you know what?
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
It is stupid, but, you know, I understand who they're saying that to, or maybe who he is that has, you know, that comes up with that line. It's someone that doesn't watch the NHL. So he doesn't even know that all these guys are in the NHL. Every single guy that was on the ice in that game was an NHL player. Like you said before, it was an all-star game with, hitting, intensity, and guys actually trying to win. You know, I mean, it was I wouldn't even say it was an upset at all. The way Canada was playing coming into that game, and the fact that you have the best goalie, I do believe that Ryan Miller is the best goalie in the world right now. The way he's playing, the way he played last year, the way he played this year, he's the best goalie in the world right now. You know, and you're playing with an all-star team in front of you, you've got the best goalie in the world against a Canadian team with all that pressure and coming in not playing well. And they got Joe Thornton. That's not an upset.
Yeah, no, you know what? The only thing that's an upset about that game is how bad the U.S. played and won. That's the upsetting factor, not that the U.S. won. It's how they played and won.
Every time they had an opportunity, I mean, both those Rafalski goals, I don't know that Luongo would have stopped either one of them. They were both kind of seeing-eye shots, and I don't know that Brodeur really got a good look at either one of them. I wouldn't say, let me get your opinion. I already know what they're doing, but tomorrow, you go Luongo or Brodeur?
I think after that performance, you got to go Luongo.
Well, they're going Luongo, and I agree. I think at this point, if you're Mike Babcock, you can't not play that card. Like, I wouldn't say yesterday was Marty Brodeur's fault. But
he was a little jumpy, though. I mean,
he
was whacking pucks out of midair.
That goal was bad. The one that he whacked back and Rafalski picked it up and threw it back on, that one, that's the one. I mean, that's the one it was like, well, okay, that was a mistake. So I guess that one we would blame on him. But other than that, like, he gave up three other goals. I just think that it was the U.S. capitalizing on the opportunities that they got. I mean, they had other chances, and Marty made great saves yesterday. But, I mean, Ryan Miller just outplayed him. Ryan Miller would have outplayed Roberto Luongo yesterday. You can't go back and watch that game and tell me that, you know, that Ryan Miller wasn't going to win that game the way he was playing. And the fact that the U.S. scored four goals for him. I mean, yeah, I mean, it was intense at the end, and it really did feel like Canada was gonna tie that game. But, you know, he was the best player on the ice. And when your goalie's the best player on the ice, oftentimes you're going to win. But, yeah, I think Canada, they have no choice but to go with Luongo. They've got to... You know, and then he's going to get in there against a team that can't score, you know, in Germany. He'll win that game, you know, and then he'll automatically be playing against Russia.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I can't wait for that game. I mean, that's the next game that may be the only other game that I'm really anticipating in this tournament. The two games that were yesterday that I was really looking forward to was Russia, the Czechs, then Canada, U.S., and I mean, I wish it was Wednesday right now, and we could see Canada and Russia, because that game, I mean, you thought there was emotion in the building last night, you know, in Canada Hockey Place, GM, you know, wait till Wednesday. because if Canada doesn't medal in the Canadian Olympics, I mean, you got, I mean, that's a bad one.
Yeah, that's an uh-oh.
Yeah.
And I believe it was the head of the Canadian Olympic Committee that came out and said that there's no way that they could catch the Americans as far as the medal count. And, you know, supposedly people in Canada are all up in arms because they spent $155 million on this, you know, head to the podium or dominate the podium campaign. And now they're you know, halfway through, and there's no way in hell that they're coming anywhere close to the U.S. total.
Yeah, but when is, like, forgive my ignorance, and I don't know that you know the answer to this, but when has Canada ever come close to the United States in the Olympic medal count? Like, I know that, yeah, when you host the Olympics, it's a big deal, but just because you host the Olympics doesn't mean that you get time shaven off your whatever your running numbers or, you know. I mean, if you're not as good at these events as Americans are, then you're just not as good. It doesn't matter. If the Canadians win gold, none of it will matter in hockey. They got the work cut out for them. I don't think they can do it. But, you know, I mean, just because, like, even if they beat Russia, I think that, you know, that energy dump, that emotional dump that they're going to have after that, just like hockey fans, this emotional dump that they're going to have after watching this kind of hockey at, you know, this exciting at this level, and then you go back to the NHL hockey, you're going to have, there's going to be an energy dump. And you're going to be like, oh, you know, like you'd be longing for Olympic hockey when you've got NHL hockey in front of you. Same thing, like they're going to win that game against Russia. I mean, it's everything is on the line that game. And then they're going to run into a just as good of a team after that. You know, and they still may not medal. So, I don't know. I think it's really, like I said, I can't wait for that game. And, you know, it looks like the U.S. is going to play the Swiss again. Should easily win that game. And then they looks like the, I guess they probably end up with Finland on Friday. I don't have the bracket in front of me. Maybe I could pull up the bracket.
I don't have it in front of me either.
Yeah, we don't promise good radio.
No. I can tell you, I don't know if you have the Canadian women's Finland game on in front of you or not in the third man in whatever you're doing. A little chippy for a woman's game.
Really?
Little chippy, the Canucks. Canada 4-0 with 3.5 to go in the third. Canada, yeah, playing a little chip. I don't think it matters. I think, you know, it's going to be the same result as last night. The U.S. women will, you know, dominate this team and take gold two nights, I believe. But, yeah, a little chippy for a women's Olympic game.
Well, what's the score right now?
4-0.
Canada, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the gold medal's on Wednesday, right?
I believe so.
Canada, U.S., that would make sense. Yeah, okay, I got to break it up in front of me now. Okay, so the U.S. will play the winner of Switzerland, Belarus, which is the first game tomorrow. And then Finland, which is right underneath the U.S. in the quarterfinal bracket, they'll play the winner of Czechs versus Latvia. Now, the Czechs will obviously, I mean, they got to win that game. They'll win that game. So then it'd be the Czechs against Finland. So the U.S. in the semifinals will play the winner of Finland versus Czech Republic. Now, in the bottom bracket where Canada is, so Canada plays Germany tomorrow at 6:30 Chicago time. So Canada would go on to win that game, you would think, then play Russia on Wednesday, in the 6:30 game. above them in the bracket, but actually playing the late game at 11 o'clock Chicago time, is Sweden playing the winner of Slovakia and Norway. Now, Slovakia will win that game unless their bus crashes on the way there. So then you have Slovakia, Sweden. I think Slovakia could beat Sweden. And then you would get Russia, Canada playing the winner of Slovakia, Sweden. And potentially that terrific game last Thursday between Slovakia, when Slovakia upset Russia. You could have a rematch of that. You could have Russia, Sweden, Canada, Sweden. But
yeah, and if we have a Slovakia Russia game, can we please keep Marian Hossa away from Alexander Ovechkin? I don't need to see the Hawks. You know, one of the Hawks' main guys getting run over by Alexander Ovechkin.
Got to give Jaromir Jagr a lot of credit though, because he. He reacted real well to that hit. He got up, and it made him angry. And he came back, and that's what – I've been so impressed with Jagr in this tournament. Like, I don't know if it's more because he wants to win a gold medal or it's because he's trying to prove a point and get himself back in the NHL next year, which has been a rumor. But, I mean, he's just playing so terrific right now. And he deserves a lot of credit because a lot of people, on his way out of the NHL in his last couple of years, he took a lot of slack, and most of it is deserved. But just played terrific hockey. And, yeah, that was a moment right there where he could have wilted and gone the other way and sort of hid the rest of the game. And he did. He came right back at Russia. Not necessarily Ovechkin because that's not Jagr's game. But he used his skill to come right back at them, and it didn't deter him whatsoever. I was really impressed with that. That was a great game, too.
Yeah, and you know, I was really impressed with what he said, too, was it wasn't the fact that he was physically hurt, but it made him more mad because that turnover cost him a goal. If you remember that, obviously Russia comes down and scores. I believe it was Malkin scores, you know, seconds after that hit. He was more upset about, you know, the giveaway and the turnover leading to a Russian goal than he was about actually getting run over.
Yeah, but, Jagr is, of course, the Czechs won in 1998, the first year that the NHL players were in the Olympics, this being, of course, the fourth year, 1998, 2002, 2006. Czechs, Canada, and Sweden in a row there were the gold medal so far for NHL participants. And it does appear as though that Gary Bettman is planting all the seeds that if he has his way, the NHL will not be going to Sochi. And I think that 100% is the right move for all the reasons I mentioned last week and also reasons that are coming up today. It's because, you know, when people say things like I've heard and I've read today, and that they're saying that they'd rather watch Olympic hockey than NHL hockey, it's time to pull them out. Like, you don't need that aggravation every 4 years to be reminded that, you know, for people to be reminded that, yeah, when you put the best players in the world together on that stage in games that mean that much to, you know, especially the Europeans, who've grown up in that environment where it's just that means everything to them. That's their Stanley Cup. Yeah, you're going to get great hockey. But for it to overshadow your league, and then, again, like I said before, that letdown when you come back and you slip back into NHL hockey, it's not doing the NHL any good. When other hockey starts getting recognized as better than yours, when you are the Premier League, it's time to get out. That's the exact reason why they shouldn't be there. But I want to get a couple other things in here before we go. People, I don't want to talk anymore about Hue and Niemi. I really don't. On Monday, because we're going to do another show again on Monday, because the Blackhawks get kicking again on Tuesday on Long Island, and then they're home on Wednesday against the Edmonton Oilers. So it just makes more sense for us to do a show on Monday night. Is that all right with you, Superstar?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Monday night, March 1st, 8 o'clock here at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin, or you can just check it out at thethirdmanin.com or in your iTunes store, search The Third Man In. So, yeah, Monday, March 1st at 8 p.m., and we'll talk, obviously, an awful lot about the final days of the Olympics, what happened, what became of the U.S. Did they persevere? Did they keep this going in medal? Did they win the gold? Did they choke and not even make the semis? I don't know. What's your opinion there? What ultimately what becomes of the Americans?
Well, I said it all along. I think they're taking the bronze. I think they get through the semis and but have to settle for a bronze medal. And obviously, the way the bracket set up, it did not help my Russia taking gold, Canada taking silver.
No, that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. I'd have to say right now that U.S. will take the bronze. Obviously, we just went over. Who else is in that bracket?
Okay, well they'll play the winner of Swiss Belarus, which it could be either team. I would say it's going to be the Swiss, but it could be either team. Then right underneath them, they would play the winner of Finland and probably the Czech Republic. So Czech Republic will advance, play Finland. U.S., if they get past Switzerland or Belarus, which they should, would play the winner of Finland, Czech Republic. Now, you think they're going to beat either one of those teams. That's because that's in the semis on Friday.
Yeah.
They beat either one of those teams.
I think they do.
Okay. Now, if they don't beat either one of those teams, since they were the first seed coming out of the qualification or the out of the preliminary, they could still go and play for the bronze. But I mean, they would likely play. They would play. Let's see, either Russia, Canada, Sweden, or Slovakia. I don't know. I don't see the. I'm going to stick with my original prediction. I don't think U.S. is going to medal. I think that yesterday was their glory. They'll win on Wednesday, and if they play the Czech Republic, they're going to lose. I think the U.S. can beat Finland if that's the game they play on Friday. They'll beat Finland. If they end up playing Sweden or Russia or Canada and the bronze, they're losing that game. I don't see the U.S. meddling at all. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen them put together. I mean, they hung on yesterday, and Ryan Miller was outstanding. They scored goals. You know, they're opportunistic. They got the goals that they needed. They're being carried right now by, you know, their role players. Their studs. I mean, their studs haven't come and contributed yet. I can't count on them meddling. My original prediction was they weren't, and I'm going to stick with it. U.S. will not medal. They may play in the bronze game, but they ain't winning that game. And I just like the way the Czechs are playing right now. So if they play the Czechs in the semis, they're losing that game. But all right, so yeah, I got to cover a few emailers here. So Hue and Yemi, I'm tired of it. If this is another thing. If the Blackhawks do trade for a goalie, it doesn't mean that all these people screaming for a goalie, it doesn't make them immediately right. That's the other thing I need to say. And it doesn't make me wrong or right. It doesn't make you, if that's your opinion, that they should trade for a goalie, it doesn't make you wrong or right. You know, it's if anything, Stan Bowman's got to trade for a goalie to protect his team from his coach who's booted the starting goaltender position since day one this season. Joel Quenneville, for everything he's done right, he's booted the goaltending position, the most important position on the ice, and he's screwed it up. He's created this controversy with the way that he's gone through this. If Cristobal Hue is not the guy, we should already know it, and we really don't, because he hasn't played QA against all the best teams, which is what a number one is theoretically supposed to be doing. So he could go with Niemi. This is my point. He could go with Niemi here for the first 2 weeks of March, and Niemi could falter, and he could be bad, okay, because it's quite possible that he could. He could, you know, I mean, he's athletic, but he's a flopper. He gives up a lot of rebounds, and he's unorthodox. He could be bad for 2 weeks, and then, you know, if the Hawks don't trade for a goalie, now every that, I mean, Operation Freakout Blackhawked them. And then you got Huey back in the net. Well, you still don't know. I mean, you're in mid-March at that point. You don't know if he can do it. I mean, we should already know. You shouldn't be risking putting Niemi in this spot where, I mean, it's not a spot he's ever been in. He's inexperienced, and you can't expect him to carry the load in this, your franchise's most important season in its history. And you're down to March 1st, and you don't know who your goalie is. That's the coach's fault. But, you know, we'll talk about it on Monday, because I already talked about it more than I want to talk about it. Now, on Sun Times yesterday did an interesting thing with the downtime that is the Olympic break and people not paying attention to anything going on with the NHL. They did a 50 greatest Blackhawks of all time. Did you see this, Superstar?
I did.
Okay. I guess I looked at it a little bit here today because some people forwarded it to me and were a little bit up in arms about a few of the things. And I guess the most amusing thing, and it's a weird thing the way they did it. At least online, there's not a list. You got to flip through the pictures, unless you could find a list.
I did not see the list. I just saw the pictures myself.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm trying to find it now. I don't know where it is. All right, but basically, I think it was Keith Magnuson, who's got his jersey retired up in the rafters. If, you know, every time his name is mentioned, he's, you know, supposedly one of the greatest Blackhawk defensemen of all time. Well, he's 23rd, you know, overall on the list.
Yeah, for somebody who's supposed to be one of the best defensemen ever, you think he'd be a little higher?
Well, I mean, it's where he should be. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is obviously an independent poll that wasn't run by the Blackhawks, otherwise he's in the top 10.
Yeah. All right, well, I think I can... let me flip through them here really, really quickly. Number 50, I love this guy because he's got the perfect 70s porn star mustache. Grant Mulvey. You know, I've probably told you this story many times before. You know the time that I pissed off Grant Mulvey outside the old Rosemont Horizon, right?
Yes, you have mentioned it. I don't know if you mentioned it on the show. You should probably do that.
I'll mention it another time. We're running out of time. Okay, number 49 defenseman in the 60s and early 70s, Doug Jarrett. 48, Patrick Kane. And again, this is body of work, people. Of course Patrick Kane's going to end up being, if he's here for any length of time, he's going to end up being very high on the list. But, I mean, this is a body of work. This is Patrick Kane's third year. Let's just relax on the 48. Lou Engotti, center, for not even that long, but very good Blackhawk back in his day. Jonathan Toews, 46. Phil Russell, 45, defenseman. This one was funny. Somebody mentioned to me, like, how could Patrick Kane be listed below Eric Daze? Eric Daze comes at 44 on the list. Doug Moens, 43. Tom Lysiak, number 42. Ant Farmer, Tom Lysiak. Ivan Boldarev, 41. Bill Gatsby, old-time Blackhawk. Daryl Sutter, 39. Dirk Graham, 38. Troy Murray, 37. Bill Hay, 36. Roy Conacher, back in old-time Blackhawks, 47 through 52. He's at 35. Johnny Gottsleeg. I, you know what? Honestly, I mean, just off what I've read about Johnny Gaudreau, he should be higher on this list, but he's 34. Elmer Moussevatsko, number 33. Another guy, I mean, he's more like, and again, I mean, I didn't see these guys play. I guess we'd have to, like, consult with the forklift on some of these guys, but just off what I read and heard other people say, Moussevatsko is kind of along those lines of Magnussen, where he's sort of a cult guy, not necessarily a great player. Cliff Coral, 32. Bob Murray, 31. Very underrated guy, actually. Not a Bob Murray, not a physical player, but a steady offensive defenseman. A little bit like Brian Campbell, but, you know, relative back in, you know, comparatively in his day. Ed Litzenberger, 30. Chico Mackey, 29. Al Secord, number 28. Still the best line ever I've seen in Blackhawks history. Savard, Larmer, and Secord. Paul Thompson, number 27. Again, that's, we're talking in the 30s. Most people wouldn't know that name. Jimmy Pappin, 26. Kenny Warham, 45. 24 was Keith Magnussen. Pitt Martin, 23. The late Pitt Martin. Bill White, 22. Bill White, you know, he was on all those teams that Keith Magnussen was, and he was the best defenseman the Blackhawks had in that era. That was always my point with Keith Magnussen. Mush Marsh, 21. Tony Amonte, number 20. Now, does that surprise you, Eddie?
Yes and no. I mean, Block, I don't know if you follow it all, but I check it pretty frequently. The all-time leading scores for the Blackhawks, and it's actually pretty interesting to watch a guy like Kane and Sharp and Taves move up that list with rapid succession. But to see Amani, who's, I believe, number 8 all-time scorer in Hawks history, be that low, that's a little odd.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Amani, he was just on so many bad teams. You know, like, he came over in 94 from the Rangers in a deadline deal that was the final pieces to the puzzle of, I mean, the Rangers made a lot of moves that year, but that was the final pieces to their Stanley Cup puzzle. And sending Olchek over for Noonan and Mateau were basically the fixtures of that deal. But, Amani was, you know, underrated guy because he never, like, after Nichols left, he never really had a center worth a damn. I mean, he had Jamnoff, but Jamnoff was always hurt and never reached his what he was supposed to be at all. Didn't even come close. And then when Jamnoff hit hard times, like, Tony Amani had nobody. Eddie Belfour, 19. Chuck Gardner, who was a goaltender in the very, very early days of the Blackhawks. Still, I don't know that he holds any of the records still, but he set them all, I mean, obviously, originally. Chuck Gardner, number 18. Eric Nestorenko, number 17 overall. Dennis Hull, 16. Whitey Stapleton, 15. Stapleton would be in he's the defenseman, Pat Stapleton. Number 14, Max Bentley. Again, there's an argument to be made that he should be much higher. Bill Mozienko, 13. Eel Seibert, defenseman in the 30s and 40s. A large defenseman for his time. I mean, you're talking about in 1940, a 6'2", 200-pound defenseman. I don't know that he was 200 pounds, but Eel Seibert at number 12, Earl Seibert. Jeremy Roenick coming in at number 11. I don't have a problem with that.
Really, no, I don't either.
Doug Wilson at number 10. Steve Larmer, number 9. Doug Bentley, number 8. That's where Doug Bentley should be. Never gets mentioned as one of the greatest Blackhawks ever, but he was. Chris Chelios, number 7. Now, that one was interesting, that Chelios, I don't have a problem. I mean, it's sort of like Chris Chelios, number 7, ranks number 7 on the 50. I think there might be something to that, but I don't know. I could flip Larmer and Chelios.
Yeah, I could see that as well.
Number 3, Pierre Palat. I don't know. He won a Stanley Cup. He's in the Hall of Fame. He should be above Chelios, I guess. Dennis Savard, number 5. And, of course, now we're in. Now, this is the interesting part, and I guess, and again, I mean, we didn't see him play, but Glenn Hall, they have ranked at number 4, and then Tony Esposito at number 3. I don't know how you can justify that.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta. Ugh.
I mean, Glenn Hall, the last Blackhawks, you know, Stanley Cup winner. You know, the consecutive games. I mean, he was the best goalie of his time. I mean, I don't know how you justify that. Where Tony Esposito wasn't the best goalie his time. So, like, how could you rank him above? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think Stanley Cup winners definitely have to play a bigger role in that, like you mentioned. You know, the guy won a cup, the guy did everything, and he was, I'm going to go on a limb and say he by far the best goalie of his generation this time, and yeah, I think that has to be switched.
And then the top two, which is, I mean, you could argue it either way. Bobby Hull, number 2, and Stan Mikita, number 1.
I don't have a problem with – I don't have a – you know, you could argue and make good arguments for either way, but I have no argument. I think I would have gone the same way with Hull, 2, and Mikita, 1.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's the longevity thing, the fact that, you know, Mikita didn't just play with Hull, you know. In fact, they didn't play together quite a bit. And Mikita still, you know, had, you know, amazing seasons point-wise. And obviously the longest-tenured Blackhawk and all that. I guess it's deserved. I guess it's like the same. It's a similar argument. You want to talk about the one that modern-day Crosby versus Ovechkin. Maybe the same thing with Mikita versus Hull. Mikita, you know, is sort of, he can do it all. Like Crosby, he can do it all. And this year, like we said, like there's nobody better in hockey right now than Sidney Crosby. You know, Ovechkin's more exciting, but Crosby's the better player right now. But Bobby Hull was more exciting. Bobby Hull was the guy who lifted guys out of their seats, and you paid to see Bobby Hull play hockey. So whereas you could appreciate, you know, I'm sure people paid to see Mikita play hockey too, but more so Hull than Mikita. I guess it's a comparative argument.
Yeah, it is a pretty good argument.
All right, well, let's get going here. We'll be back again, like we said, Monday, March 1st at 8 o'clock, same place as we are always, either on thethirdmanin.com or you find us at blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. And we're going to have a lot to talk about next week, so you better bring your A game next week, Superstar. We got the Olympic post wrap up, and we've got to get it in high gear because the Blackhawks still have 2 games, Tuesday and Wednesday, and we also have the NHL trade deadline, and we'll probably have at least a few trades before we go on the air that night. So, awful lot to talk about. Can't wait for Chris Versteeg to be traded, and I don't know. We could celebrate. Maybe hopefully we can celebrate it that night.
Yes, we can, hopefully.
Hopefully. All right, well, let's get out of here then, Superstar. Might as well go ahead and say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right, I guess until next week, that's about it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.